What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Level Up Life. Thanks for tuning in. We have today with us Rachel Clark, hair makeup artist, friend of mine. We've worked together on a few things. She's California grown, Utah nourished hair makeup professional. She's worked with the likes of Toyota, Utah Jazz, BYU TV, NC Frost, Backcountry, Google, Zag, Unicity, Fox Nation, a whole bunch more. As well as some movies, some TV shows. Very talented. Very glad to have you on. Thank you very much for coming.
So good to be here.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Welcome, Rachel. Welcome. So Rachel, I got a question for you just right off the bat, because all of that stuff that was just told to me was brand new and very exciting because it's totally out of my realm. And I just think it's awesome. But if you could tell us, like, what is something you're like working on right now that you're excited about?
Right now I'm working on Studio C. I'm part of the glam squad for season 17 and 18. So it's like a low budget cable, TV show, it's sketch comedy, and we do crazy stuff in little to no time live.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know Studio C. My stepdad, the number of times he's shown me clips and just laughed so hard. And look at me, he's like, you get it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, totally. But it's a solid show. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's a great time. I'm so happy and grateful to be on it. I'm like I'm the hairstylist. So I take care of all the cast, cuts and colors. And then I also do some wig styling and then makeup when we do, you know, live or doing it like filming. We film off different locations. It's really fun.
Oh man,
that's cool.
I can think of so many people that I knew growing up who would just absolutely love to be doing what you're doing. Because yeah. Some people get stuck up in the, you know, I gotta go to an office, or maybe they just, you know, they just don't realize like how you can have a more, you know, creative career. And I think that's really awesome. What if you could bring us back to the early parts of your career? How, like, where were you at? Like, when were you just like, you know what, this is what I want to do? Like, how'd you make it happen? Real curious.
Well, I started in photography, actually. Oh. All my siblings got to do the whole like LA be an extra thing. And when I'm youngest at five, when they had me, they just stopped going to that. And so it's really funny that I'm now the only one that's now in film and everyone else has moved away from it. So I think it's good that I wasn't an extra, because that probably would have jaded me. But yeah, I started doing photography and doing my own shoots and just doing the hair and makeup for them. I was super inspired by like David LaChapelle photography and Floria Sigismondi. And I thought I would really do that for the rest of my life. Until I got to college and one of my professors really knocked that dream out of me. And I went to hair school and my grandmother was a hairdresser and her sister was a hairdresser. And now me and my sister are hairdressers. And it was just kind of like put in my path to kind of go this way.
Wow. So when you say your professor knocked it out of you, tell us about that. What happened there?
Yeah.
He was not a great guy. He was just kind of like chauvinist. It just wasn't very, what do you say? Encouraging for his teaching techniques. And so I was like, man, I actually maybe don't want to do this. So I had like one class left and like just changed my major. And then decided, well, I think I'm just going to start hair school because I need something to do for careers. So let's try this. And I've been touring schools for like 2 years, kind of putting it off. And I was like, no, I just need to do this. And I did. And then it just, you know, kind of steamrolled.
It happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was like the villain in your story.
Totally.
Basically, like
good villain. Because I needed that.
Yeah, right. Like there was someone that came in who sucked, but yes. They put you on a path that ultimately led you to where you're at now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Now,
that's
I know at least a fair amount of people who've studied cosmetology, but don't work in the film industry. You know, they're hairdressers, maybe they work in weddings. You know, it feels like the film industry is like this whole other world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on top of just cosmetology and beauty. And so how did you make that jump?
Yeah, because it seems like the cream of the crop. Like, yeah. You know, like.
Totally. And you have to have, I think, the right personality to handle the film industry and to succeed in it. And I think I just got lucky because all the photographers that I met with school, I just kept in contact with, and then I would end up working with them later, styling for them. Like, I still work with one of them. And it's just funny because I have like an old photo shoot of where he took photo shoot, like pictures of me. And now I'm like working with him and he's taking photos of my work. And it's just really cool. But yeah, the story of how I went through that is a little crazy.
Oh, absolutely. I'm curious. So getting started, was there like someone that referred you to be like, hey, you know what? Like, Rachel's great at what she does. She'd be perfect to help work on this film. Did you apply to something? Like, how did you end up like getting that first job?
So I worked at many different salons. About 10 in 10 years, I learned a million different product lines, cutting systems, you name it. And it just never was a really good fit. And then my husband decided he wanted to go to recording school to be a music producer, which he does now full time. And so we moved to Arizona and I was like, I'm done with hair. I hate it. I don't want to do this anymore. And I gave it up and I did retail for a couple years. And then my husband was invited back to play in this band that went on a big tour for about 5 years. So we moved back to Utah and I had to face all my fears, deal with everything. And it just so happened that we were all living together as a band while married. It was a crazy time. Don't ever suggest.
Wow.
And I was working at Chili's at the time, like, really avoiding my life. And the bassist, Steele, who you know, his friend Birdie, who went by Jen back in the day, she was like, oh, you do hair, do you do makeup? And for some reason I said yes. And I decided right then and there to learn makeup on my own. And I working with her. She worked at Unicity at the time. And I was making more money than I thought I ever would. And I got to build my makeup kit and learn everything on the job. And I just did it. I just said, okay, here we go. And she was, I thank her every day for that, because I wouldn't be here had she not been like, hey, you can do this. You should do this. You're doing this.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. What was that first job like when you showed up and maybe were like maybe a little unsure of your abilities?
Oh, completely intimidating, because they were also deep skin tone and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just this dumb white girl and I had to fake it and research and learn as much as I could and find mentors and it finally all worked out. It was really, really great.
What as you came on, you mentioned earlier that it takes a certain personality and a certain like work ethic to succeed in film. Could you like elaborate on that a little bit more? Like, were there things that surprised you? Were there things that you found like, oh, I'm a natural fit for this because of something? I'm just curious about that.
I realize that I'm really easygoing and I'm very calm. And so I can bring that to a room or a set or an actor and help them calm down, be a good mirror. for people that are kind of crazy, which is, you know, a lot of actors, they're a little crazy.
You gotta be.
Yeah, you gotta be to do that job.
Yeah.
You can do that job. And so I noticed that I was very nurturing. I have like a very mothering instinct within me. And it was just easy to be stepmom. It was easy to take care of the people and do my job. And yeah, I mean, there's still challenges with that too, with boundaries and stuff like that. But you learn quickly.
Oh my goodness. Would you say your experience in working this long? Cause I'm just thinking about like every time I get my hair did, I usually have like a pretty good conversation with the person cutting my hair, because they ask me a lot of questions. Even if I never see this person again, they ask me like, you know, about work and life and like what's happening. Did you find that like that experience in your salon days ended up helping you with the role that you're in today?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause everyone you meet's got stories and everyone has got their own solutions. And so you can learn from whatever they're going through, whatever they've got. And you just don't know when you're going to have it again. Like when I worked retail and worked in Arizona while we were like between things, I worked at a nail salon for this cute little Filipino lady and her weird boyfriend, who always wore Hawaiian shirts every day. It was like classic out of a movie. I was like, what life am I living right now? And I would do nails, pedicures for 11 hours a day. And it was awful. I hated it.
Oh my goodness.
But you know what? I needed that skill for later. And I didn't even know it. So
you push through.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to use those skills. So do it. Just try it, because you never know. Because now I'm doing everything. It's insane what I'm doing right now. We're doing everything.
So you're doing like
the nails to prosthetics to facial hair to it's wild. It's every skin tone, and you got to do it in like 4 minutes or less, and it's got to look good.
Wow. I'm just picturing those like the pit stops at a NASCAR where it's just, you know, they're go, 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 go. Then they come back, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to change clothes, change wigs, go through makeup and get sound to check them before they go back out. And they have 8 minutes.
Wow.
That's wild. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Come backstage sometime. It's yeah.
My goodness.
Whole day after, because I'm like exhausted.
Oh, well, Rachel, a question for you. Yeah. This has been a really cool story, and I'm so glad to have you on. I'm really curious about what would you say was like your biggest obstacle in getting where you're at today? Like what, like, and that could have been, you know, something personal, something professional, but like, what do you think that is the biggest thing you had to tackle and overcome in order to get where you're at today?
I don't know. That could be me getting in my own way. That could be,
I remember you mentioning earlier that, you know, you were working at, in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And you felt like you were kind of trying to get away from the progress of your own life. So it, to me, it would seem like, I mean, that in itself is an obstacle that, you know, a lot of people face, you know, and some of them never get over that. Yeah. So I just find that to be very impressive.
Yeah, it was a midlife crisis and feeling like major imposter syndrome. And I was like, no, I want to do something else. I want to do something else. But I didn't know what that was. And it pulled me right back in. I remember working at Chili's. And my friend Alexis, she was going to school at Taylor Andrews. And she's like, I got you an interview to apply at Taylor Andrews. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, you're going to teach. It's later today at 4:00. You have to be there. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. I love people like that in our lives that just like push us though.
Yeah. And I am not a good teacher. It was a weird 8 months, but I did learn a ton about what I didn't want. My mom said, if you don't know what you want, you can pretty sure figure out real fast what you don't want. And that'll help you a lot. And so that was great for me, because I learned, oh, I don't want to teach and I don't want to work in a salon. And I just want to work on film. I just want to do gigs. This is what I want to do.
That's so cool. What advice would you have to someone in similar shoes? Maybe they want to get into hair, makeup, and film. Maybe they want to get into film in general. Just, you know, based on your experience, what advice would you share?
I'd say don't give up. If you really want to do it, do it. But if the universe is pointing you everywhere else, don't forget to listen to that. And don't forget to listen to your gut, because your gut is always right.
Oh, I like that.
That's cool.
That's a great takeaway.
Yeah. Cool. And wow. It takes a while to figure out what your gut is really saying to you. If it's like your fear, or if it's like it's saying yes or no. And why? And sometimes you can't know why, and you just have to do it, because it feels better when you finally decide and say, no, I actually don't want that. Like, I had to turn away movies for a while because they were just so toxic and hard on me and hard on my soul and my health. Even though they were really fun, they were also really awful. And so I did commercials for a few years. And now that I'm doing this TV show, the TV show felt right. And I was like, I want that, and I'm going to get it. And because I just kept manifesting that I want it, and I'm going to get it, and I got it. You just got to believe.
Awesome. You just got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Man. Really,
it's strong. It really works.
It really does. It's been like a commonality that we found in speaking with people, and it's impressive, because I've had my moments where I'm like, oh, you know what, whatever. Like, I don't want to do this. You get in your own head. But it's been inspiring to hear, you know, people like yourself, like, talk about this, you know, just keep pushing, keep going. Like, don't stop, you know, like that. It's inspiring.
Yeah. You got to listen, and you got to act, and you got to, go where the inspiration takes you to all the time.
Yeah, I feel like as a society, we've become so accustomed to instant gratification, and be easy to be like, okay, I want to do this, boom, why aren't I doing it already? And like, it is a process, and it does take time to build that network, build trust with people, build the skill set. You know, I mean, you had a decade worth of schooling and other opportunities, jobs that refined you, that, you know, got you ready for what you're doing. So it is a long game for sure.
Yeah, being patient, being open, meeting the right people at the right time. You just don't know. But you also have to protect yourself in this industry. It's really easy to just say yes to everything and get like mowed over. Like, I got really sick after a whole year. We did 2 seasons of Dwight for BYU TV. I was the key hairdresser on that. And then I decided to do a movie in the middle of it. We were in the desert for a month. And then after all of it, I was sick for a month.
just the overworking, over hours, over.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure the heat
Oh, it was insane. Like, love what you do, but also don't forget about yourself. And don't get lost in those things. Like, finding that balance. That's what I'm kind of relearning now, is like, oh yeah, balance, hobbies.
Yeah.
Feeding myself, like going for walks, remembering what it's like to hear the voice in my head, you know? Anyway, I probably went on a tangent there for you guys.
No, it's good.
That's great.
To wrap up, speaking of hobbies, tell us about your band.
Oh yeah, my band. So my husband and I have a band called Mouth, spelled M-O-W-T-H, and we've been going for about 5 years. We've got 2 albums out, 2 EPs, And we've been playing a slew of shows this year. We've got about four more, and then we're going to take a break to write. But you can catch us next Sunday at Quarters Bar or at the Utah Arts Festival.
You're on Spotify?
Yeah, we're on Spotify and iTunes. And yeah, that is like another whole job, which I miss. I don't have time for it right now. But this gig is, it's a short gig, and then we'll, you know, move back into working on the band. I really love it. I love singing. That's another story, if you ever want to get into that, of why I started that project.
Oh man.
Yeah, maybe we'll revisit that sometime.
You know, and I know we're kind of finishing up here, but when you mentioned, Rachel, about talking about hobbies and like having something outside of your work that you can be a part of and appreciate, music for the listeners out there is a fantastic creative outlet. Like,
yes,
once you get lost in it, it just lights up something in your soul. So I'd highly recommend for everyone, check out Rachel's band, wonderful music. And thank you, Rachel, so much. This was a great time.
Thank you.
Well, that was a fantastic and fun conversation that we got to have with Rachel today. I love the transition that she made in her life. I as someone who's worked in the service industry, who has worked retail, like I can attest to, yeah, those jobs can suck for sure, but you can learn a lot during that time. And, you know, those aren't always going to be forever, right? Like those are a stepping stone for the next thing. And I think if you continue to apply yourself, you know, no matter what, because I remember some folks who, you know, I remember one person I worked with who became a scientist, but just worked in the restaurant industry to do that. But neither here nor there, that was a really cool conversation. And I'm glad that we got to speak with her.
Yeah, super cool. And she just has such a good attitude about everything. And she views her past in such a positive way as like stepping stones to get her to where she is. I think it's super great. Thanks guys so much for watching. As always, subscribe, share this video if you thought it was helpful, and comment below different industries or people you know that you want us to talk to. Let's do it.
Yeah, we would love to hear your stories. Y'all are just some fascinating people, and I think more people need to know about you. So please reach out to us.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.